Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way, where you are going to continue to learn and apply and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but can thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us here again today. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time today? Well, first, during our radio seminar segment, we're going to talk just a bit about how to start to teach your 6 to 13-year-olds about how to begin to handle money in ways that are pleasing to God. It's going to be a great time together. Then we're going to expand on how to teach our children into our Q&A time together, where you're going to hear some real-world questions and answers from folks who are raising children. And finally, during our Minute with Maxwell, John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word anger. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together. And as we do every time, let me open us with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for meeting with us here again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory in Jesus' mighty name? Amen. Now, during our last radio seminar time together, you saw that there is a whole lot of work that we can do to help our children as young as 3 to 5 years old begin to form Bible-based attitudes about money. And remember, we talked about the concept of the commission replacing that age-old strategy of the allowance. And, well, we gave you some great thoughts on working with 3 to 5-year-olds. Now, this week, let's begin to talk a little bit about raising money-wise children ages 6 to 13. Now, look, just a little bit of background. And I'm sure you know this if you have children or had children of this age. You got to know that as your children continue to grow, well, the chores and responsibilities and maybe even the dollar amount you pay for work well done, well, these things ought to grow as well. You see, it's normal for children to want to get paid for more stuff because they want to buy more stuff, all right? Now, my guess is that most of the time, children ages 6 to 13 are not normally going to be worried about having to buy their own necessities, such as food and clothing. On the other hand, you as a parent, well, you're not there to fund every little thing your child wants to buy. In other words, as your children grow, their wants and desires grow as well. And so should their chores, okay? Now, a great help for you and your children ages 6 to 13 would be to have a chore chart, okay? A chore chart that you prominently display on, say, your refrigerator, okay? Now, on this chart, you can list the names of each of your children, okay, and about 4 or 5 age-appropriate, skill-appropriate jobs for each child, the amount of commission you're going to pay for each job, and a box for the child to check when that particular job is completed and ready for inspection. Now remember, there are some chores your children should do just because they have the privilege of being part of your family and living in your household. For example, I recall my mom and dad expected me to, you know, I was expected to help set the table and clear the table and wash the dishes. And I was expected to make my bed and keep my room clean. You know, I was expected to put my dirty laundry in the laundry basket. Okay. And during the summer, my dad often asked me to help him clean the garage, maybe rake and bag the leaves in the yard. It was clear to me that these were unpaid jobs needed to be done to make the family living better where we were living. Okay. So it was clear to me these were unpaid jobs. Now, your children need to learn the relationship between work and reward. That's true. But that does not mean They should be trained to think that they're going to get paid for every little thing that they, even every big thing that they do around the house. You see, money ought not to be the motivator every single time. Why? Well, we all have to do some jobs in life simply because they are part of life. Now remember, you as the parent should figure out a handful of specific age-appropriate, skill-appropriate chores and a dollar amount to pay for each one. That's going to be your call. And even so, remember, the jobs that you assign must be age and ability appropriate. Now, by the age of six, I'm telling you, if you haven't already seen this, you're going to find that your child is going to be ready for a little bit more responsibility. So you can begin to add more jobs and provide less hands-on help as they complete them. And again, I suggest you first list those tasks on the chore chart and stick it on the refrigerator so they can see it every day. Plus, make it a big deal. Celebrate when they complete a task and check it off, okay? Celebrate each one of those. Good job, man. Now, what are some ideas that you might want to assign your 6 to 13-year-old, mostly 6, mostly on the younger side, but 6-ish children? Well, they can include things like making their own bed, feeding pets, vacuuming and sweeping and sorting and folding and putting away their laundry, cleaning the dishes, watering the plants, cleaning the windows, washing the car, doing some yard work. Hey, maybe even cleaning up the bathroom. And as they get a little older, you can encourage them to find some ways to make money outside the home as well. Help sit down with them and help them brainstorm some ideas such as, think back what you did when you were young. Things like babysitting, maybe walking the neighbor's dog or doing some age-appropriate and ability-appropriate yard work for other folks in the neighborhood. Now, if your child has an entrepreneurial spirit, well, you need to encourage that. Now, how can you encourage that? Well, start by helping them come up with and distribute a flyer across your neighborhood to help advertise that new business that son or daughter is going to put into place. Now, another thing here. As your 6 to 13-year-olds continue to get used to the chore charts, As they continue to make the connection between work and reward, well, you might want to consider paying them commissions weekly instead of immediately. You see, knowing that they have to work throughout the week, that they're only going to get paid once a week, well, it helps teach them lessons in delayed gratification and patience. And that's important because I got to tell you, that is how the real world works, right? For example, here's what you can do. Let's say every Sunday evening, let your kiddos grab their chore charts off the refrigerator and sit down with you and your husband or you and your wife at the dining room table. Now start with the youngest child and check to see whether or not he or she has completed all the jobs on the chart. If, for example, you're paying a dollar for each chore, well, then have a stack of $1 bills ready to hand out for each job completed. And listen, by the way, if that child has done only 3 of the 5 chores on the list, well, guess what? You're only going to give that child 3 $1 bills, not 5, right? Generally speaking, it is best to pay for the work that they did and not pay for the work they did not do, okay? Now, working with 6 to 13-year-olds, I got to tell you from personal experience here, that is a great age to start teaching and training them about what to do with the money that they're making. Now, at this age, for example, at this age, you have your children divide their income across three areas. Those areas are giving, saving, and spending. Listen, this is a great age. It's a great time to start teaching how giving comes before saving, which comes before spending, okay? Now what you need to do is to give each child three specific envelopes. You know, one name to give, one name save, and the other one name spend. And what you can do is have the child write those words big and bold across that envelope. And then you might even want to ask them to take some crayons or colored pens or pencils or something and have them decorate those envelopes any way they want. For example, they can draw some pictures of the things that they want to buy now in the spend envelope, okay? And maybe even some of the things, you know, to use the money later on and draw those pictures on the save envelope. And ideas where or how to give on the give envelope. Maybe they draw a picture of the church. Every dollar they earn in commissions needs to be spread across these three envelopes. You can also, listen, it's a good idea to also apply this technique to any money that they get as a birthday gift or a Christmas gift throughout the year. Now, not only can you use envelopes, but you can also use clear plastic containers. We talked about that. It's a good one. But at this age, I suggest you move into the envelopes. So, let's put it all together. This is how it can work. Let's say each Sunday evening, and I suggest Sunday because, well, that gives them Saturday to catch up on any undone chores and Sunday to be able to give at church, okay? So each Sunday evening, you're going to sit down with your children as a family and pay out your commissions. Now let's, and by the way, you're going to include the younger kids, you're going to include the older kids, you're going to include everybody. So it's a family deal, okay? Now, but for this example, let's just say you have one child, and that child successfully completed all five of the chores that he or she was assigned. That means that you're going to hand that child, for example, five $1 bills, right? Okay, well, have them start by putting $1 in the give envelope. And again, it's a good lesson to teach that giving always comes first, okay? So you put $1 in the give envelope. Now put $2 in the save envelope and then $2 in the spend envelope. And I know the proportions may not seem right to you, but we're not going to be legalistic at this point. We're not going to be legalistic ever, but we're not going to get hung up on percentages. You have five $1 bills. You're going to work with those five $1 bills. One to give, two to save, two to spend, okay? And yes, there is wisdom in that order. My friend, this is the most basic form of budgeting, and let me tell you, it works. It works even for a six-year-old. Now the money in the spend envelope, well, how do you handle that? Well, it's got to be fair game. I mean, that money can be spent any time that the child wants. That money is meant to be enjoyed because they need to learn that money can be fun, okay? Then the save envelope, well, it can be looked at as maybe a long-term spend envelope. Now I'm not talking about saving money for college or a car or a house or anything like that at age six. No. But you can help your child brainstorm some possible savings goals. For example, maybe a certain toy that it's going to take a matter of weeks or even a month or two to be able to save enough to earn to buy. And then as their savings grow and they finally hit that goal, help them proudly take that save envelope with them, put it in their pocket, take it with them, go to the store, pay for that thing out of the save envelope, and bring that major purchase home. Believe me, this is going to teach your little ones things like patience and goal setting and delayed gratification. And I'm telling you, look around at some of the adults you know. There's an awful lot of adults that struggle with these three things. Start teaching them early. They won't be one of the ones that struggle later on. Now, another thing, help your child make the give envelope the center of attention. Again, the first envelope that they fund each time you hand out your commissions. And by the time your child is six, you ought to stop giving that child your money to drop in the offering plate at church, okay? Help them to remember. Listen. Help them to remember to take their give envelope with them to church, take out the contents, and put it in the plate when the plate comes around. This is a great way to start talking about giving. Now, you and I, well, we'll talk about this a little bit more a little bit later, All right? Hoo-wee. Okay, so there you have some great thoughts to pray over and implement to start giving your 3 and 5 year olds and now your 6 to 13 year olds, helping them start down the path to financial freedom God's way. Next time we're gonna talk a little bit about how to guide your teenagers down that same road. And believe you me, it's gonna be a great road of adventure for both you and your children. Okay, let's keep the theme of teaching and training children to how to handle their money in ways that are pleasing to God, how to help them learn how to do that, by taking a look at some real-world questions from real folks, and we can just build on that topic. For example, here's a good question right off the start. It says, Bob, should I give my child an allowance? Well, we've just talked about that for the last couple of weeks, but let me suggest this to you. Proverbs 3:12 says this, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Now, what can this mean? Well, I'll tell you one thing it can mean is that we are not to teach our children to expect allowances, right? Rather, teach them to work and earn money. To me, the allowance name in itself implies, well, it implies something that is given rather than something that is earned. Now, listen, if God doesn't provide us with an allowance, and he doesn't, then we probably ought not to provide allowances to our children. If you have a child who demonstrates discipline in handling money and you want to give him a special gift every now and again, well, that's great. But just be certain that you are establishing some long-term values in your children that are going to guide them when they get to be adults. Now, the Lord showed my wife and me that we were to make some chores a normal part of our family life. And we started this one, as we've already talked about, we started this back when our children were 3, 4, 5 years old and included some fun activities that they were eager to do. For example, my daughter loved to be able to help my wife in the kitchen to cook. Now, my son, well, we'd work together to clean the car, power wash the house. And many times our children, well, when they displayed great attitudes, or maybe they went above and beyond, you know, took what we asked them to do as a normal part of family life to a whole nother level, some things that were on their unpaid chore list. Well, so when they did that, sometimes the rewards were a big hug and a thank you as we let them know how important they were to the family and how much we appreciate their work to help benefit the family. But other times, we added a bit of cash to their pocket. Now, I have to tell you again that the Lord has since caused me to want to replace and encourage you to replace allowance with a commission system. Replace the allowance with a commission system. Thank you. That was a great question. Now, here's another one. Bob, we have a grown child who is very slothful. He has managed his own money so poorly that often he doesn't even have enough money for groceries. We don't want to give him any more money because we want him to learn self-discipline. But he goes to our church, and I now find that he is asking our church for help. When the church helps our son, won't the effect of our discipline be wasted? Oh my goodness, Sally, that's a tough situation. That is a good question. My friend, you got to know right off the bat that this is not as unusual a problem as you may think it is, okay? What I suggest is that you stick to what God has told you to do. Many parents, well, they try to financially buffer their children. But that usually, I got to tell you from experience and having coached a whole lot of folks, that usually makes the problems worse. Just as Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. What I encourage you to do is not to worry about the church helping. Because ultimately, the church, the folks at the church, are going to learn what you already know, and that is that handouts do not solve the problem. you will only alienate your son if you ask the church not to help him. Don't go there. Tell your son that you love him, but that you realize that more money is not going to help him change his ways, which is what he's got to do. He's got to learn to change his ways. Let him know that you will gladly help him when he is willing to learn to live a more disciplined life. Now, if he agrees, listen, if he agrees and says, yes, I need some help, what I suggested that you do is to ask him to get into contact and ask for help from either Crown Financial Ministries at www.crown.org or the Dave Ramsey Organization at www.daveramsey.com. Two good questions, again, pointing in the direction of the responsibility that we as parents have to raise money-wise children. Good questions. Wow. I have to tell you, I really love the fact that I get to share with you a minute with Maxwell each time that we meet. Remember, each time, each week, each time we are with this Christian author and speaker and coach, during each minute with Maxwell, you are going to gain insight into a single word. And that insight can greatly add, well, it can add a great deal of value to you in each and every area of your walk with the Lord, to include the financial way that you walk with the Lord. Now, today's word, today's word is anger. Anger. Ouch. Now, here's a word that can really describe so many of us so much of the time as we consider what's going on across our country today, right? So let's see what John Maxwell can teach us about the word anger.
The word today is anger. I'm in it with Maxwell. I'm glad you're here. Again, I'm a person of faith, and there's a scripture verse that says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't go to bed angry. And the reason that verse is so powerful is because I know people who they not only go to bed with anger, but they wake up in the morning and they still have anger, and it's a very destructive force in their life. Anger almost always causes us to get our emotions out of bounds. Emotions are good as long as they're contained, controlled, regulated. But anger lets the emotion get completely over the fence and out of control until now you're thinking things about someone that you shouldn't think. You're maybe doing things to someone that you shouldn't do. Trust me on this. Anger is a thing that that you and I need to control. Now, that verse would not have said, don't go to bed angry, if it was not possible for you to go to bed without anger. In other words, it didn't ask us to do something we can't do. So think of it this way. Anger's a choice. The problem is it's a destructive choice. It's a bad habit. If it's yours, choose not to have it anymore. It'll take you a while to get out of the anger hole, but trust me, it'll make you a better person.
Boy, now this is some great Bible-based insight, wouldn't you agree? To me, what John is saying is that although it may be easy to get caught up in our emotions, we ought not to get stuck in the anger hole. John says, and I think it's true, that we are given a choice daily. We are not to allow anger to consume us and destroy us on the journey that we are on, to include our financial journey. We are to let go of what we cannot control and focus on that which we can control. Thank you, John Maxwell, for another great Minute with Maxwell. Okay, that just about wraps up our time together for today. Now recall, we first started on our radio seminar segment. Well, we talked a little bit about how to start to teach and train your 6 to 13-year-olds about how to begin to handle money in ways that are pleasing to God. Now next time we're going to look at the same subject, only we're going to be talking about how to teach and train our teenagers. All right? It's going to be great. Don't miss it. Then we had two great questions, real world questions from real world parents as they needed help to match their children with God's word, with what God's word has to say about money. And finally, well, we ended up with another minute with Maxwell, where he shared with us his thoughts on the word anger, where we learned that we better learn to let go of what we can't control and focus on that which we can control. Now, finally, as promised, what I want to do is to invite you to come and be part of our How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop that's built on our long-standing working relationship with Dave Ramsey and John Maxwell, Larry Burkett, and Christian Financial Concepts, which, of course, is now Crown Financial Ministries. My friend, this is where you are going to discover and then learn how to apply and pass on to the children in your life in age-appropriate ways Bible-based financial principles and applications. Now, the seminar and workshop is going to be at the Chattoog Ministry and Events Center at 2532 Highway 76 West in Hiawassee, which is the red building that's formerly known as Stella Barong's Mountain Home Music Theater. Now, when is it? Well, it's going to be this Friday and Saturday, okay? Sessions 1 to 3 are going to be this Friday evening, February 18th from 6:30 to 9:30, and then sessions 4, 5, and 6, well, we're going to finish up the next morning, Saturday, February 19th from 8:30 to noon. Seating is going to be limited. Now, registrations are not required, but I guarantee to save a place for you if you give me a call at 828-835-0888. That's 828-835-0888, or what you can do is get all the information that you need to include downloading a flyer that you can use and even pass out to some of your friends. Plus, you can reserve your seat. You can do all of that on our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. And by the way, the seminar, the workshop, all of the teaching, plus all of the handouts and tools and materials, even refreshments, everything is offered absolutely at no charge, okay? So, How to Raise Money-Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop. I look forward to seeing you there. Now, one other thing. As you may know, this Financial Freedom God's Way radio program, well, we have been blessed to be on the air since early last summer. Now, what is happening is that we're having a lot of our new listeners wondering and asking whether they can go back and listen to earlier programs. And even, for example, you may have picked up something, a point or two today, and you would love to go back and hear it again so that you can take a note or two. Well, the good news is that you can now go to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Then scroll down and click on the graphic that says Blog, Radio, and Money Minutes, okay? Blog, Radio, and Money Minutes. It's about halfway down the home page. From there, click Radio, and what you're going to find is each one of our 40 broadcasts will display so you can re-listen at your convenience. Now, I'm also going back and putting in the dates and the primary topics that were covered so that you will be able to have that information as well. But this new service offered on our website, I hope that will be helpful to you. And by the way, I would love to hear from you. I really would. If you have a question that you would like to have answered on air, well, simply go to our website and give us your question at the Request More Information form at the bottom of the home page. And also, if you have any suggestions or questions or comments about what you hear each week, maybe there's something you'd like to hear that you're not. Maybe there's something you're hearing that's not really beneficial to you. Just give us your thoughts, won't you? We want to build this program up the way the Lord gives us, and the Lord is going to give it to us based upon the needs of all of our listeners. Now, when you do send in your form at the bottom of the page, include your address, and I'll make sure to send out to you some great Bible-based financial teaching information in the form of a pamphlet that we put together with Larry Burkett. So, really would love to begin to hear from you. Now, that does wrap up our time together today. Let me pray us out. Father God, I thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to be looking forward to seeing you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.